Hope you had a great Independence weekend. Most of you will get another day tomorrow. That is great. We'll be here live for you tomorrow night, by the way. We'll be back in a moment with Uri Geller as we talk about the NSA, the National Security Agency. What are they up to? And we'll take calls this hour on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Uri Geller. Uri, tell us about the NSA. What was up with them?
Okay, I will, but please, again, before that, my new book is Uri Geller, Learn to Douse, Use the World's Most Powerful Search Engine, Your Intuition. And, of course, I'm on Instagram, the Uri Geller. I'm on Twitter, and I'm on Facebook. And this is the NSA, obviously the most powerful, what would we call it, listening agency in the world. Because, you know, today, everybody who has a mobile phone, you're carrying the biggest, the most powerful, the most sophisticated espionage tool. They can listen to you, they can tape you, they can activate your cameras on both sides. For instance, my iPhone, I have a tape covering the camera on both sides. But again, you can not cover the microphone. So if NSA wants to know about you, you're being taped 24 hours a day. Maybe you're not listened to, but you're being stored. Yes, stored for future, who knows what.
Yep.
So here is what happened. I was being tested by MI5, and a poltergeist phenomenon occurred. A piece of crystal penetrated. It went into a wall into the other side of the room. So there was some kind of quantum mechanics, quantum entanglement situation. And the British scientists were amazed, and they passed that information to NSA. Now, obviously, you know this, and all your listeners know, that for decades, governments were basically interested in talents like telepathy, telekinesis, remote viewing, etc. And the NSA, CIA, became extremely interested after they read and heard about this dematerialization. And, you know, the overall notion then and even now, the idea is to weaponize psychic abilities. I will repeat that. Weaponize psychic abilities. Because even today, there is psychical research going on in major countries like China, England, Israel, America, Germany, France, and so forth. This is taken very seriously. And remote viewing, you know, that's another tool to spy on. So there was this order to get 10 psychics to see. Now, I hope you're all sitting, because this sounds like I'm taking it out of a science fiction film. You must understand that there was also, concerning the NSA, a report or discovery of a new type of energy, perhaps even more important than that of the atomic energy. They all combined this idea that psychic energy can be utilized. So our task was to dematerialize a Russian city, a Russian town. If you don't believe me, if you don't believe what I just said, just Google the NSA's fear of psychic nukes. This is, I'm taking this out of NSA documents that were released into the public domain. So this is, it is rather mind-blowing that the streak of the belief system that certain agencies still have is that the mind is so powerful that you could utilize it to erase entire cities off the face of our planet.
Dramatic. Just dramatic, Uri.
I mean, it's mind-blowing. It's crazy. But, you know, everything I'm telling you, you can check out. Get onto my website, urigeller.com, and find it. All my words, everything I'm telling you, is verifiable and it is credible and it is has been said before on in top secret documents that were released for public domain.
Did you know the late Ingo Swann, the remote viewer?
Of course. We worked together at Stanford.
Uh-huh.
He could remote view, and he actually brought information from different planets. You see, George, part of the illusion that we're living in is that we think that everything is solid. Well, George, everything you observe with your physical senses is not solid. It's vibrational. And the last frontier is not space. It is the mind. And I believe that we can achieve anything and everything. We're basically kind of unlimited beings. And I believe that everybody can start manifesting your own, with your own creative process, things that you want to achieve in life. So sliding away from UFOs and the paranormal and the supernatural, I believe that you can enhance your life with your paranormal or psychic abilities. You know, I always say this, you know, whatever you can visualize, George, you can materialize. There is nothing you cannot be, do, or have because you are the architect of your own lives. And if there are young people hearing me now, my advice to you is the following. You know, Georgette, I get thousands of emails a year, thousands, from people who want to me to teach them how to bend a spoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them, no, forget spoon bending. Instead, become a positive thinker, believe in yourself, focus on school, go to university, create a target goal to be successful in life. Use visualization. Whatever you can visualize, you can materialize. The secret of success is originality, and inner happiness is the fuel of success. People who say, oh, I have nothing, I'm struggling in life, I have no money. Well, you can start with nothing, and from nothing, from no way, there will be a way. This has been written many times in thousands of books around the world. Start believing in yourself. And if you want help from outer space, from ET, ask it. The universe listens. Synchronicity is basically, George, the universe makes things happen for a reason.
Yep.
And I believe that I'm on with you, not because you just invited me on your show today because you saw some headlines of Uri Geller. No, because there is a reason, George, for everything, and I think you'll agree with me.
Absolutely. Before we take calls, did you happen to know the psychiatrist, Dr. Shafika Karegula, whose practice was ESP and telepathy? She was a friend of Ingo Swann, but did you know her by any chance?
Yes. Remember, George, and this very few people know, I come from Sigmund Freud's family. My name in my British passport is Uri Geller Freud. So I've always been interested in the psychological makeup of our brains, of our mind. You know, George, we'll take calls in a moment, but hey, listen, the paranormal beliefs, especially after the UFO report, is flourishing. I mean, more than 58% in America believe in haunted spirits. More than 57% of people believe in ancient advanced civilization. More than 41% of Americans believe in aliens. They believe that aliens visited our planet.
Yep, and that's going to grow.
35% believe that aliens are among us. It's incredible. So, hi, I believe in everything and anything because I say, and this is from a movie, if there was no aliens in outer space, then what a waste of space.
And the psychiatrist that I just mentioned, she was my aunt. She was into all this. Yeah.
That is incredible. That is unbelievable. George, you have to come to Israel. I just want to mention again June Crane, Dr. Carol Sue, Rosine, Dr. Carol Sue, was a spokeswoman of Dr. Wernher von Braun. She's a beautiful soul. She's writing a book now that will continue the Ed Mitchell amazing.
You tell her I want her on our show, or when she's ready, we'll bring you on with her.
I will make sure she gets on your show. Let's take some calls, all right?
Let's do it. Let's start with Thomas in La Jolla, California. Hi, Tom. You're on with Uri Geller.
Thank you, George. You know, first of all, Uri, you have the most amazing voice. And a comment, then a question. Concerning your voice, when I hear your voice on the radio, I get a sense of peace and a sense of transformation and possibility. And I feel from you like a sense of humbleness, a sense of peace, and perhaps most of all, a sense of gratitude toward life. And so I was wondering if you would explain to the audience, you know, when I listen to your voice, I may not be able to bend spoons, but I feel more grateful, more humble, more forgiving. So I was wondering if you would speak about your personal sense of gratitude, your personal sense of forgiveness.
Well, Tom, first of all, thank you ever so much, and a big hug and lots of love to you for these amazing, beautiful words. Please, after the show, get onto my email. You'll find my email address on my website. Email me. I want to talk to you. You sound like a beautiful soul. Look, Tom, I have gone through hell up and down since childhood. My mother was divorced. My father didn't want children, so he ordered my mother to have 8 abortions. I'm her only child, I believe, but I have angels around me who are my brothers and sisters. During the war, tragically, I had to kill a Jordanian soldier face-to-face, which changed my life, obviously, because I believe that Jordanian soul is in my soul. So I had ups and downs. I was on an ego trip. I was after fame and fortune. I was ruthless. I wanted to be the most famous person in the world. And then John Lennon approached me and said to me, Uri, by the way, I was so sick. I had bulimia and I had anorexia because when you are in a frenzy of such, you want to experience everything. And John Lennon looks at me and says to me, you look like an Auschwitz survivor. I was so thin.
Wow.
And he said to me, you go out and find spirituality. Tom, I didn't even know what spirituality meant. He sent me packing to Japan, where I lived with my family, with my children, Daniel and Natalie, and my mother and brother-in-law and wife, Hannah, in a little hut in a forest where I learned what spirituality meant. So today, I wake up every morning with an attitude of gratitude. You said the right words. Gratitude. You see, Tom, just imagine this, and this is real. Every 3 seconds, listen, 21, 22, 23. 3 seconds went by now, and right now, a baby died from hunger somewhere around the world. So how can we not be in an attitude of gratitude? We have to, because there's still suffering around the world. There's still we kill people in the name of religion. There are still natural disasters. There are still nuclear bombs in silos around the world. So that's what I'm about today. I forget spoon bending. I'm not there anymore. I don't care about that anymore. I try to, you know, talk about peace and gratitude. So I hope I answered your question, Tom.
Have you been asked to run for political office in Israel at all, Uri?
You know, I was asked that question many times. I've known Bibi Benjamin Netanyahu for 50 years.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you know, going back to spoon bending, on my website, there is a video of Bibi Benjamin Netanyahu talking about the time we walked into a restaurant together and everybody wanted me to bend the spoon. And I said, I can't bend everyone's spoons. And then I said, okay, let me try. and Benjamin Netanyahu stands on my left, and all the spoons on the tables of the people bent, witnessed by Benjamin Netanyahu. This was so freaky and so bizarre. So he mentions that on a video on my website, urigeller.com. I don't think I'll run to politics, you know. I think there are more important things for me to do worldwide.
You're well known out there. Let's go to Elizabeth in Palm Beach, Florida. Welcome to the program. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello, sir. It's a pleasure to talk to you. You are a true light worker, and thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And Mr. Geller, you are the light. You are the light.
Thank you. I had the
pleasure of meeting you when I was 17 years old in Palm Beach.
Wow.
You came to my house. I even remember what you were wearing, and I watched you with my own eyes move objects, bend spoons from my own drawer in the kitchen, and you are truly a phenomenon and just this amazing presence in the world, and I am honored to speak with you again. Thank you.
Well, how about that?
That is so beautiful. Also, you know, I met so many people. Obviously, it's hard for me to remember when we met, but, you know, I'd like to tell you something, to tell everybody something. We were talking about being humble. Well, when I was about 13 years old, I lived in Cyprus because my parents were divorced and my mother married a Hungarian Jew. And once a year, I came back to Israel to be with my dad for a few weeks. So one day I was walking in the street, and lo and behold, I see Chubby Checker walking across the road.
The inventor of the twist.
Who Chubby Checker was. He was a famous singer, American singer, with his big hit, Let's Twist Again, like we did last summer.
That's right.
And I'm freaking out because I'm seeing Chubby Checker. So I say, I've got to get his autograph. I've got to get his autograph. So I run over to Chubby Checker, and I say to him, you know, knowing that he's going to tell me to kind of get lost. And I say to him, Oh, Mr. Checker, can I have your autograph? And he looks at me and he says to me, what's your name? So I say, I'm Uri Geller. And he says, well, look, Mr. Geller, he says to me, and I'm 13. I don't have a pen on me and I don't have a piece of paper, but look, there is a kiosk over the other side of the street. Come with me. Let's go over there.
Wow.
So I walk with Chubby Checker to a kiosk, and he asks for a pen and a piece of paper. And he takes his time, and he says, signs to Uri Geller, my best wishes, Chubby Checker.
You never forgot that story.
Wow. That was the biggest, the most powerful lesson in my life. Be nice to everyone all the time. And that's me. And that's a lesson I'd like to pass over to all our listeners. If you have quarreled with someone, if you have not spoken to your family, pick up the phone tonight. Say, I'm sorry, let's put it behind our back and hug them. Because life is short on this planet, especially with your family, with your parents. And to the youngsters who are listening to me, never, ever smoke and never, ever touch drugs because that will screw your mind. And thank you. I didn't pick up the name of the lady who called.
Elizabeth. Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, thank you for triggering this emotion in me.
Uri, we're going to take one quick break and come back with final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, we're going to talk about manifesting your success, so get ready for that. We're going to come back in a moment with Uri Geller and take final phone calls. His new book is called Uri Geller, Learn to Douse. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you, along with Uri Geller. We'll get to your final calls in a moment. Uri, take a moment and tell us about the Learn to Douse book.
First of all, I would like to mention that I doused throughout my career. If you remember, Moshe Dayan,
yes,
was the top general in Israel.
He had a patch over his eye, right?
Exactly. And he was into archaeology, and he collected archaeological artifacts I was about 22 when he asked me to help him locate buried treasures. I was already then known to Mossad.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to go out with Moshe Dayan in the middle of the night to certain coastal beaches, and with my, I didn't use any twigs or any metals. I just used my hands, because you see, when you douse and you do it with a crystal or with a metal rod or with a bronze or copper rod or with a wooden twig, they basically become a tool for your mind. It's your mind that locates the water, the buried whatever you're looking for, oil and so forth. So I found a few artifacts for Moshe Dayan, which amazed him. Now, very few people know this, but the American Army asked me to douse for hidden tunnels
Wow.
that North Korea dug into South Korea to invade. So I was taken by an American Army helicopter to the Z-zone, you know, to the border between both Korea, South
and demilitarized North. Zone, yeah.
Demilitarized zone. And I even have pictures from there where I'm dousing and looking for tunnels. It's obviously this mission was shrouded in secrecy, so I can't tell you what I found, but it was successful. So I decided to write a book called Uri Geller Learn How to Douse. And basically, in the book, I teach people, and I'll repeat it again, how to use the world's most powerful search engine. And it's basically our intuition. And you know that in this modern world, we have basically, George, become disconnected from our incredible instinctive abilities. And I teach people how to awaken them and use your abilities to douse and to bring positive occurrences into your life. So it's not necessarily to find water or a lost ring. It's basically to enhance your life for the better. You know, I've written many, many books around the world. They have been translated to many, many languages. And I believe that today I'm in a position, you know, I'll be 75 in December.
You don't look it, and you sure don't sound it.
Yeah, thank you. I also want to say that I don't look it, but I'm a vegetarian. I exercise every day. I'm a positive thinker. And today I can afford to tell anyone and everybody what I really want to say. I'm me. And that took me a long time, many years, to become what I am today. So I'm in a way in a driving seat to teach people how to think positive and how to draw good things into their lives. That's what I'm about today. So my Instagram is The Uri Geller. I'm on Twitter. I have my Facebook. My website has my email. Believe it or not, I have no secretaries. I have no managers. I have no PR people. I have no image makers. When I get an email on my iPhone, I try to immediately answer it because I get about 200-300 emails a day.
Good for you. And I'm looking at a picture of you that was in the Jerusalem Post. You must be in your 20s. It's a CIA-type photograph, and you've got this strange thing on your head. What is that?
Well, both the CIA and MI5 wanted to measure my brain waves. You know that Mossad didn't have the tools. They didn't have the computers at that time. You know, we're talking about the times when there were no mobile phones. There was no internet. And I'll never forget an experiment, and this is why I was wearing this. I was talking with a CIA agent in Langley, Virginia, and I can mention his name because he won't deny it. His name is Kit Green. He's quite a well-known doctor today. And Hal Puthoff, one of the experimenters in Palo Alto, was sitting next to me and speaking on a normal black phone to Kit Green. And he said to Kit that Uri Geller can see things from afar. And Kit Green says to him, no, he can't. And Hal says, yes, he can. So Kit Green picks a book off the shelf in Langley, Virginia, in his office. You understand, we are thousands of kilometers away from each other. There's no Facebook, there's no FaceTime, there's no, nobody could see him. It's an old black phone. And he says, well, Uri, what am I holding in my hand? So I drew exactly the page that he opened the book to, and I wrote over my drawing architectural, and he freaked out. Kit Green wrote on the book, inside on that page, the word architectural.
Huh.
So some kind of a brainwave, some kind of an energy when we do telepathy must be transpiring, must be going through each other into our mind from mind to mind. Remember, George, we are all connected to each other with an invisible spiritual thread through which we can send emotions, love, the power of healing. I'm not a healer, but we can transmit that to others. And, you know, we're coming to very close to the end of the show. Let me mention something quite incredible. Let me ask you this, George. Do you know what is the connection to George, John Kennedy, Bill Clinton, Jimmy Carter, Barack Obama, George W. Bush, Donald Trump, Joseph Biden, Jesus Christ, and Isaac Newton?
I have no idea, no.
Are you ready for this? Everybody will freak out because this is another facet. I'm sure you spoke about it. Every one of those people has 11 letters in their name.
Huh.
11 letters. And the 11-11 phenomena is mind-blowing. I started being attracted to 11-11 in my 40s. I would stand with my back to a digital clock on the wall. Something would make me turn around, and I would see 11-11. And I don't... Wait, George, let me count. How many names, how many letters do you have?
I've got 11 in my name.
How many?
11.
What? That is freaky. Okay. Anyhow, so I started seeing 11 letters on clocks, in my car, in my kitchen. And I said, I get goosebumps now. And I said, hang on, now, come on. This is not a coincidence. Something is going on here with 11-11. Something is trying to tell me. Something is trying to communicate through me. So I write a story about 11-11 on my website, and I am inundated with thousands of emails from around the world. Oh, Mr. Geller, this is happening to me. I'm being attracted to the number 11. Why is my name with 11 letters? I just had an email from your show, George, right now. A lady who is listening to the show, she writes to me about what's the significance of 11-11. Well, George, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be inundated by emails from people about this topic, and I should come on your show another time and speak about it, because a lot of people think that aliens are trying to communicate through us. The people whose names are with 11 letters are 11ers. 11ers. They were indigo children when they were born. There's a whole world and facet and dimension and arenas into the 11-11ers. So we'll speak about it another time. George, are you sure? Let me count. Are you sure?
Count them. George Norrie, 11 letters.
And is this the first time I tell you about it? Were you ever aware of it?
I've been aware of 11-11. I didn't put my numbers into that. I didn't even realize I had 11.
Uri Geller, from around the world, the old Jaffa, makes you aware that you are an 11er. Right now, people are emailing you about the number 1111, and please do email me, too. I'm very interested in it. This was an amazing show, don't you think, George?
Always. Let's take some final calls, and I've got to tell you a final story before we wrap up. Joe in Long Island, New York. Go ahead, Joseph.
Hey, Yuri, two quick things here. You know, you seem very determined. You're going with Moshe, Diane, in the middle of the night. But sometimes I think determined people overlook yellow flags, red flags. Do you see that? And number two, with visualization, you work up close and in the distance. I'm sure, you know, if you're going to trigger a nuclear bomb, theoretically, or dematerialize a city, you don't want to be too close either to either of those events. And just a comment, like this Malaysian airline thing, what were they going to look for this thing, 100 years all over the earth? I mean, isn't there a point where you give up on something like that, too?
Well, the MH-370.
I already pointed out where that plane is lying under the sea. But listen, you know, what's your name?
His name's Joe.
John, listen, this is important. You triggered something in me. You know, I've done unethical things in my life, from moving a football in Euro 96 25 years ago. The England team were concerned that Scotland might beat them, so they put me in a helicopter, and I was flying around Wembley, which is the biggest football stadium in England. And when I heard that Gary McAllister, who was a Scottish striker, got a penalty, he was running towards the ball, and I screamed in the helicopter, 1, 2, 3, move, and I moved the ball away from his foot. And this is on film. You can see it on my website, the ball move. And so that was highly unethical because you cannot interfere with a match with the power of your mind tangibly. So you brought up something very interesting. I had very unusual requests, unethical requests. In a laboratory, I was asked to stop the heart of a pig. I was so shocked by this that I catapulted out of that research because they wanted to see if the power of the mind, human mind can stop the heart of a pig, because a pig's heart is the closest to the human.
Well, then they would have had you work on some human being.
Well, anyhow, we don't have time to go into this, but I would never, ever consider erasing a city or trigger a nuclear bomb. But because the governments are so interested and they are believing in these things that they have to research it. And I'll tell you why. Because the American government are concerned that in Russia, there are people like me. They're concerned about the psychic race. They want to be number one. They want to be first. They don't want to be bombarded by Russian, some kind of a nuclear psychic trigger. And today's cyber war is massive. And a lot of psychics, a lot of intuitives, a lot of remote viewers empower the cyber war. They can instill energy into cyber. And cyber today, you can stop the traffic on George Washington Bridge. You can erase the computers in the water reservoirs. You can, I mean, it's shockingly scary because the next war is not going to be a nuclear war. It's going to be a cyber war. Just imagine all the bridges in the United States locked down. Just imagine important secret data being erased.
Yep.
In the Pentagon, I erased floppy disks for the CIA in the early 70s. Russian spies were carrying floppy disks on Aeromexico. I was based in Mexico to spy on the Russian embassy. And these guys boarded the plane. I sat behind them. And with my mind, I erased those floppy disks. So when these KGB agents landed in Russia, in Moscow, there was nothing on their floppy disks. Many decades went by. The mind becomes more powerful. So what I'm telling you, all of you, all the listeners, that the whole structure, even the geophysical, the warfare structure has changed. and it is more dangerous, and it is more accessible, and we've got to think about peace.
Absolutely. Uri, we're running out of time. Next time you're on, I'll tell you an interesting story. When you were on with us several years ago and you made clocks work, we re-ran the program a couple years later, and it happened again. Everybody was emailing me, telling me the clocks are working. This is strange, but it's a great thing. Uri, you take care. Keep in touch with us, all right?
Okay, lots of love to everyone, and a big hug and positive energy from all Jaffa and Israel.
Uri Geller, his website, urigeller.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Up next, we're going to talk a little bit about yourself. Maureen St. Germain joins us. Her latest work, Beyond the Flower of Life, next.